up to.
Back from Lyman, went up to a little market up here in Lyman to pick up some meat and a little key lime pie for the wife.
Well, my wife loves key lime pie. I mean, I like it a lot, but I've never found any sugar-free, so. But anyway, well, that's great. Do you know anything about the flea market? I think it's either on 101 or 290 that they have on Sunday. Do you know anything about that?
At the barnyard, I've been there before.
Which highway is that on?
Yeah, it's on 101, opposite side of the interstate from BMW, about a mile on the right.
So past it, it's been a good long while ago. Dave, the before DJW, invited me to go to, come to a airfield, and I had to go past that to get to the airfield. And I thought, well, that'd be a neat place to go, you know, on Sunday afternoon.
Saturdays and Sundays, so, and it's right there at the red light, so it ain't too bad to get in and out of. I don't know what time they start leaving on Sundays, but I imagine they stay open till 2 or 3 anyway.
I didn't realize they were open on Saturday, but that makes sense. I'm on the Edwards Road here, coming up on Ike's Road, and man, I tell you, the reception's terrible.
The outside vendors, and I think it's the first little covered awning is like, you know, people that come once in a while, but then all the rest are people that are, they're always there and that. But they got some good little fruits and vegetables and different things like that, so it's not too bad. We do it once every other month or so.
Well, are you participating in the 13 colonies thing that's going on?
Not a bad spot.
For the EW mobile monitoring.
EW. No, I haven't got an HF today yet. I might after a little while. And that, but I got something wrong with my antenna, it looks like, because I, when it tunes, and then after about, I don't know, 10 or 15 seconds of transmission, it goes, you know, it drops on down in power, so I must have a bad connection somewhere. They're at the station. Come on in here.
BEW, this is Ben. I was just wanting to listen to the 13 Colonies thing. I've just heard the name, but, yeah, I'll just listen for that.
They're on FT4, FT8, sideband, single sideband. They're probably on CW too. I don't do CW. But anyway, but I've done 12 of 13. I can't get K2I. So I couldn't get them last night because there was about 200 people in there at the same time trying to get to them. I tried to avail. I heard one of the guys that was, and it might have been K2I, say that they were going to be there all week. I just thought it was for the weekend. Man, maybe he said weekend, and I just heard week. I don't know. It was on single sideband. I think we were on mobile. I don't have my log in front of me. It was either 20 or 40 meters. And I don't remember the frequency, the exact frequency, but... But, they're, I mean, They're all over the place because, like I said, I made some contacts on FT4, some on FT8, and then I switched over to sideband and made some on sideband. So it's just it was just a lot of fun to see if I could get all 13.
When I get home, and then I got a little cannon project I need to do first, but I tried to get all the 16 states of that Lewis and Clark Trail. I think I got about 8 or 9 of them, but I never did get all of them.
Yeah, it's just something to do, and I'm not a big contester, but, you know, I just thought that would be, it's not too difficult, and you know, just gives you something to work toward. But anyway, we'll see. There's a third person in there, and I forgot his call. Go ahead. This is KB4CBA.
ZEW. Sounds like it's just kind of, like you said, a fun thing to do. Just to kind of get the merit badge. Maybe make yourself a little certificate to put on the wall.
You got all of them and contacted them, you could probably get a certificate from them. Usually that's how they do.
Just like ARRL sponsored or something?
Sponsoring it, but Dave may know. KN4TFW.
Me, I don't know nothing about nothing. And what I do know, I forgot. So, anyway. Well, I'm pulling into the garage, so I'm going to leave you two with it, and y'all have a good day and a good July 4th tomorrow, and I'll say 73 is KB4CBA.
You guys have an awesome weekend, and enjoy the 4th. Stay safe. KN4TFW.
You as well. I got to get some lunch for the kids, and I've got to get to cut some grass while I've got a little time to do that.
I imagine that they have a website you can go to and tell you all about it under one of the call signs.
I posted something about it on the UCARS website or our website, but they didn't include a link. They just mentioned the contest.
If you do a search, ham radio, 13 colony contest or whatever, it'll pop up something. And I'm sure that, you know, if you got all 13 and you asked for a certificate, I bet you can get one.
I'll check it out for future knowledge. The only certificate I'm really focused on right now is getting my general, hopefully later this month.
If I got it, surely you can get it. It's not too bad. I was fortunate enough to be able to take the class in person for it. You know, they were teaching it over at the Greer Club, and then I'm waiting for the extra class to start up at the end of the year, maybe in person, and maybe I can do that.
A combination of self-study with the ARL book and handstudy.org.
You can do it, and then you should be able to get it. You'll really enjoy HF when you get into it.
He's done it on field day, but it'd be really cool to just dive into it when I finally can.
And some of that parts on the air, like being a hunter, and I got a certificate for contacting 200 parts, got a certificate for contacting 5 parts in other countries, and that. So it was pretty interesting, a lot of fun. I almost got worked all states. I think I lack about 6 or 7 to getting all that.
Cool. I'm not really big into contesting, but having little goals like that is that you get to all 50 states, you get 13 colonies, things like that, and you can, you know, put yourself some little certificates on the wall, and it's little goals to accomplish and things to just, you know, keep active, keep in practice, things to do.
But it's about putting a goal in front of you and just having fun and learning from it. my goal for this year is to try to get to 100 countries, and that I'm at 67 right now, so I don't have too far to go.
That's crazy. To me, that's huge. Good job, and let us know when you get it.
Well, I've just pulled up in the driveway, so I've enjoyed it, and I'll say 73s, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the fourth weekend, and be safe. KN4TFW.
DEW, clear.
DEW, W4DJW. Hey, Ben.
Here.
4DJW, Dave, I'm the one you communicated with over email. Just thought I'd say hello.
Awesome. Good to talk to you. I'm starting to pick up like the second half of call signs, so like DJW and WWZ and stuff like that, but I'm not quite putting the full digits together. So, yeah, good to talk to you, and I'm working on getting on EchoLink right now to mess with that. I got registered this weekend, got approved, so that's my little task in the bucket to research right now.
Interested in ham radio, or have you been around radio long?
I've been interested in electronics all my life, and I had an uncle, he's a ham, and lost his son last fall, so he said he was going to the Charlotte Ham Fest. I'll go with you, and you could probably use the support and somebody to hang out with at the show, and I went up there and I was just pretty blown away with the technologies, the people, the crossover with the electronics, and the study of frequencies and wireless communication, and it just triggered my teenage brain to go, hey, this is why I was taking all those TV sets apart when I was younger.
Well, most people you talk to, they've got an uncle or a cousin or somebody that they know somewhere in the family that does ham radio, but that's pretty cool. I just wondered, I hear new people come in here all the time, and it's always interesting to figure out. I was talking to my son-in-law about 2 weeks ago, maybe, or longer than that, and he was asking me about the antenna on ham radio and telling me what it was, and he's like, his eyes got really big, and he's like, what? That's like a secret fraternity that nobody knows about except for ham radio operators. And it's no secret. It's just not, I guess it was well known in the larger population that we have nowadays than in the past.
I see a little bit of the communications ability of the Internet kind of drowning it out, but it's interesting to kind of, step out of that box, the sort of that matrix of the Internet, and kind of there's a lot more to the world out here.
And I enjoy learning and applying what I've learned. I like to fly radio control airplanes as well, and I like computer science. And ham radio is just it just fits snugly between those two. You use them to fly airplanes and use computers to fly airplanes, and it's just a lot of things come together when you introduce ham radio. It kind of answers a whole lot of questions. That's one of the things. I flew airplanes before I was a ham, and I always wanted to know, this is radio control airplanes, how that box in my hands actually controlled that airplane like it does. It was so precise, because I used to do competition airplanes. And I was just wondering, how can I just barely move the stick here and I make that airplane roll and then barely move it back and it stopped? It was, I figured if I ever got my ham radio license that I would figure that out. My dad was a ham radio operator the whole time I was growing up, and he kept trying to encourage me to do it, but I didn't do it until I was 40, in my 40s, and now I'm in my 60s. And I've had a good solid 20 years of it, and enjoyed every year.
Something to learn, that's what keeps me interested. I just lost my microwave recently, and so I was taking the old one apart and going, why would a microwave oven interfere with Wi-Fi? I said, well, Wi-Fi is 2.4 gigahertz. Microwave ovens run on 2.45 gigahertz. So if you develop a leak and your microwave is putting out 900 watts, whereas your Wi-Fi might be a lot at best. So it's just like, oh, that completely makes sense that if, you know, if just a little bit of that radio escapes from the microwave, I mean, it's just pushing out with so much power that, yeah, it would knock down the Wi-Fi two rooms away.
Transformer in that microwave is good for, I mean, if you're going to tear it apart, you know what the transformer's good for, right?
Gotta check that out. I did take it apart. I saved the magnetron, the transformer, a couple other pieces, power supply. And I've seen people use it to weld and stuff like that.
That's what I was talking about. For, like, if you want to group the 1694, whatever that battery is, the one that's really good, lithium ion, and then, or the Tesla batteries or anything like that, you want to tie them together. That thing makes a great battery welder. the tabs on the battery. There's some YouTube videos on how to do it, how to make one of those. And I figure when mine goes out, that's what its transformer's second life will be.
It's like, there's got to be a use for that. And then I did look at some of the YouTubes, and they were threading, I don't know, number 2 gauge cable through one side of it, and then, you know, putting them on rods, and, you know, tap welding stuff together. And I was like, that's crazy.
You figure if you buy one of those things, it's probably going to be very expensive. And that's not cheap. That's something you would have otherwise thrown away. W4DJW. So, what area, so do you work in electronics? And if so, what area?
ZEW. I actually work on the hospital software. You've probably heard of it, called Epic, or if you've ever logged into MyChart, which, yeah, I've always wanted to get into neuroscience because of the, you know, the electricity and neuroscience are such, so similar. So this has kind of woven my way through life and ended up doing a combination of computer science and healthcare, and just, you know, I've really enjoyed it. I've been doing it since 2014, and I've just really taken to it.
Are you a coder?
Oh, some coding and some scripting languages and stuff, but I don't write a lot of code for work. The system is an InterSystems cache-based database, so I'm not an administrator. I actually work on the application side of it.
Okay, that's cool. You're in and around computer science all day, every day. That's what's cool. I did integration services for financial systems like Bank of America and Bank of Japan, and enjoyed that. Wrote software for a long time, and then became a manager, and then retired just recently, last September. But I've been around it my whole life and enjoyed it. It's like if you do something you really enjoy, you don't work a day in your life. That's absolutely for real.
Other station, go ahead. ZEW, I thought that was somebody trying to jump in. So, anyways, I gotta run. I'm at the store. Gotta grab the girls some lunch and get home and get some grass cut so I can take it easy this afternoon. After that,
my timing, because I'm about to pick up the dog at the groomers. But enjoy our queso and look forward to talking to you again in the future. KF4ZEW, W4DJW mobile.
Meet up with everybody again in August if we do an in-person meeting. So, thanks again. Always good to have a, you know, in-depth conversation. And KO4ZEW mobile, I'll be clear.
DJW, KN4VWA.
Steve, make it quick because I got to go in here and pick up Maggie.
Roger, roger. Hey, I thought you went up North Carolina.
Got back from Boise when we finally got settled in. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, yeah, about that time. And she wasn't feeling so good, and she'd been around airplanes and people and sitting rooms and meeting rooms, and just didn't have a real good feeling about being near such a young baby after being around all those people. You know what I mean?
That is showing real, true signs of consideration and love for that child. I'm telling you. And the next time we get together, I'll tell you about another little situation sort of similar to that. That is good. Well, so anyhow, I am going to be going flying either Monday or Tuesday morning. You know?
We'll see. Play it by ear. I got to go in here and pick up Maggie, though. I just made it to the groomers. But let me know. Text me when you get ready to go. And I still got my battery charged up, so I could go at any time. But, yeah, sounds like a good idea. We're well overdue. W4DJW, I'm going in here to pick up Maggie.
KN4, VWA. I'm clear.
KN4NUE.
KN4NUE, KN4VWA. What's happening, Chad?
Hey, Steve. Listen, I'm stuck up here in the middle of the mountains somewhere in Zirconia. Can you give me a signal report?
Give me 5 seconds of dead key.
KN4NUE.
It sounded like a very, very, very delicate shower in the background, but I had to... hey, sounds great. You can back off the mic ever so slightly, but, you know, it's completely readable. Good, clean signal.
Well, thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. You have a good day, sir. KN4NUE, clear.
WA, clear.
WA, W4DJW, you still there, Steve?
R. Oh, me. I am running on a wish and a prayer. According to my gauge, I got 33 miles to empty, and I am trying to get over to the Sam's Club in Spartanburg, and it's about 10 miles on over there. So, if you hear something in the background going, I didn't make it.
To have those machines out in front with the rubber hoses attached to them, you can stop by one of those and you can remediate that situation.
I'm looking at the QT station in Lyman right now, and they're basically at 420, and I can buy it for $395. So the effort is going to get put out there. Let's see, that's almost 30 cents a gallon. Hey, who's that?
It was on Stallings, had it for $3.92.
The Ingles where?
Oxford Road, Taylor's.
Well, that's one of those situations like Dave describes where I'd spend all my savings going over there to get it from Edmund. That's pretty good. Hey, Ken, was that you talking to Dave earlier?
I heard him, but I wasn't talking.
Okay, well, listen, hey, Dave, we need to gang up on Ken and get him out there to fly with us.
I heard him talking to Dave. He's talking to the other Dave, KP4CBA Dave. But, yeah, Ken, you need to come out there to the airfield with us one day. On a weekend, maybe, or if you have a day off during the week.
Eddie in Tennessee, he builds and flies planes. He loves it. I saw he posted that he bought a, let me see if I can get this right. It was a CY 120-inch, what was it, a Cessna 188 AG wagon is what he was building. Is that similar to what you guys fly?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dave. I doubled on you. Take it.
Steve's got a Cessna, but not one that you have to build. One that you just order it and put your radio in it and fly. Go ahead, Steve.
Cessna 182, and if I remember right, it's like a 1.4-meter... wingspan, which is about 55 inches, 50-something inches, and it's fun. It's a scale. And, yeah, I think I know the aircraft that you're talking about. that he's got, that's a big one. Yeah, man, shoot. Like I said, you need to come out and fly with us one day. I guarantee you, get out there, you would get hooked.
Now, his says it's 120-inch, and he listed the motor he's going to put in. It's like, man, that's 4.5 horsepower.
Just fly slow, and you can see them real good. You'll like the big ones.
Like that big one down at Harkness, Dave. I don't think Harkness has flown that one in a long time, but I believe it's a B-29. And what was the wingspan on that one, Dave? I think he had four of those 4-horsepower engines on it. What was it, 10 or 12 feet?
Let me see if I got it. Last time, and that wasn't Harkness's B-29. That was Mac Hodges' B-29. Yeah, and it had 4 chainsaw engines on it. I think the wingspan was 30 feet, and I think the top of the tail of the rudder was about 9 feet. Up in there, so you walk by the rudder and you look up to see the top of the rudder. But he doesn't do that anymore. Him and Dan Stevens used to do that a long time. Mac Hodges had a hobby shop down in the lower part of Georgia, America's Georgia, and he'd take it up to the Joe Nall at Harkness's Triple Tree and fly it. But he flew all over the place too. He was very well known because of that. And every time they'd crash it, they'd build another one, him and Dan. But Dan passed away, and his last crash landed close to a baby, so he decided enough of that stuff, and he doesn't build those anymore. W4DJW.
Where we do, Ken, there's not much worries about hitting anything. We're out in the middle of right next to a cow pasture on a little runway for ultralights, and it's a great place to fly.
One day and watch you guys fly and that, but right now I got a project going right now in the kitchen I need to get back to, so I'm just going to say 7-3s, and you guys have an awesome 4th of July and that, and stay safe, and then enjoy the flying. KN4TFW.
Ken, as always, buddy, good to talk to you. Hey, get in there, get that kitchen done so you can come out with us. Take it, Dave.
To see you out there if you get a chance. It'd be fun. I think you'd enjoy it. And you can spend on it whatever you want. You can build a foam airplane for $1 for the airframe, right? Or $1 or $2 for the airframe, and like a $9 motor. So you can fly really, really cheap, or you can fly really, really expensive. It's all up to you. Anyway, enjoy the rest of the long weekend. W4DJW. Go ahead, Steve.
But I'm doing it again. I'm getting quick on the trigger. Let's make sure there's no other stations trying to get in there. Any other stations? So, KO4NUE popped in there just a little bit ago. Wherever Zirconia is, I think it's North Carolina. But anyhow, what I was thinking, Dave, is either Monday morning really early or Tuesday morning really early, you know, around 8 o'clock. Get out there. The grass is probably already dry over there. And, hey, I checked it for Monday morning. They're predicting 5 and 5 at 8 with 76 degrees. And then by 10 o'clock, it's going to be 6 to 7 at about 80. So that sounds great flying weather to me. Then the rest of the day is going to get kind of warm. Pretty much, well, the last time I checked it was yesterday, and they were talking about it being like that both days, Monday and Tuesday.
Might be easier than Monday. Is Sue working on Monday?
She is off all week. So, as long as I get out before she gets up, I can escape and go do a little flying and then come home.
Ryan is off on Monday and works the rest of the week, so might be Tuesday for me.
That's fine. As long as we get out there in the cool, man, I went to the meeting yesterday. We had a very good meeting. We had like 16 or 18 there. It was a good meeting. And we planned out to fly in. Continued planning out the fly-in, and good crowd, but it was so hot. That sun was blazing down so hard. I had my airplanes with me, but I just couldn't stand it. I couldn't fly in that.
Kind of sheltering in place from the heat. I go out there and water everything at night before the sun gets all the way down. But it's sweltering hot out there, so I haven't been out much in it either. Well, I'm glad they had a good turnout. Did they say anything about registering the field so that we didn't have to individually register?
You mean for the new FAA reg coming on the the transponder thing?
Yeah, so that we don't have to do RFID if we're flying from their field, or from, I guess you'd call that our field.
Well, here's what they said, that it's not going to go into effect until September 23, and that just as soon as AMA gets all the paperwork in place, that they are going to file for that, and they're going to be fully recognized so that we do not have to do the RFIDs there at our field. So they're ahead of the wave, but they are waiting for the protocol to do it.
And did you say September 2023? Because I don't know if papers came out or it just got snowy. I didn't hear the year.
If I'm not mistaken, my understanding is that it absolutely goes into effect. It becomes a requirement, but not an enforcement. In September 2023 is, I believe, what it is.
I need to learn enough about that protocol and the minimum, you know, transmit power and how they want it to be with what they want it to transmit in. Like if it's AFSK, we need to figure out a way to build a transmitter on a board, a single board transmitter, you know, that's about the size, about 1 inch square. So that you can just drop it in there and, you know, put one of those little plugs on your battery, the little ones. Not the big, not the XT60, but the little tiny red ones. So that you just drop it in your airplane and you meet the requirement. And then sell 100,000 of them a day. That'd be pretty cool, don't you think? We've got till September 2023 to figure all that out.
Absolutely. But now, see, the requirements and protocols on the device that goes in the aircraft has not been settled yet either, from what I understand. So we need to wait till they come out with the final requirements, and by that point, I know we're going to be all set. Okay? So
you make it so that they can just turn it on and drop it in their airplane? You'll sell as many of them as you can make.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. So I'm all in for that, man. Shoot. And didn't you say you've got a guy that can manufacture boards for us?
Now, there's a lot of places out there that can do that. But what's hard is to find one that does it inside the United States and is competitive. That's the hard part. But we'll find something like that. I think Bob might know something, AA1RD. I think he might know of one, because he got those boards he had made. He got them done pretty quick.
Who I was trying to think of, that's who I was trying to reference on the manufacturer of the boards. And I'll tell you something, Dave. I don't care if it costs a little more. I would prefer to stay onshore.
And be competitive. If you make them at $30 a piece and somebody else makes them at $8 a piece and they both meet FAA requirements, you guess who's going to sell and who isn't?
Yeah, but there are those out there, and I'm starting to run into it too. In today's political climate, they would prefer to buy onshore as versus offshore, and to be honest, I'm one of them. I wouldn't mind paying about $2 or $3 more, you know, to buy onshore. Yes, sir. So, Anyhow, even in any situation, that's going to be something where you're going to have to compete with that stupid bunch of Horizon Hobby anyhow. And there's no telling where they'll wind up.
Dollar ones. It's the ones at Hobby King that'll be the ones that you're competing with. They'll be the low dollar ones. Where they'll make 100,000 of them for a dollar and sell them for $3 and make a ton of money on them.
You're right. But you're right on the concept. That's the way to do it. Well, listen, I've made it to Sam's, and my thing says I've still got 24 miles to go. So I'm going to sit in line here and see if I can't get to a pump. And, you know, I don't even know exactly how much it is. Oh, well, anyhow, it's got to be pretty cheap because it was $3.99 the last time I saw it. So, anyhow, I will get back with you probably sometime Monday evening, and we'll figure out our Tuesday morning, and we'll get our detail on the weather and the winds and all that good stuff. So, in the meantime, 73s, you be careful out there. Go home and relax a little bit in this heat. K4, NWA, I'm clear.
All weekend. Take care. Talk to you later. K4 VWA, W4 DJ, W Mobile.